no matter how it's been and how long it's been that way, faith will expect it to be better. Faith will expect it to change. And if you're really expecting it to be better, there's no reason to dread.
Are you living in fear and doubt? Don't let another day go by being robbed of the joy and peace that are rightfully yours. Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and his special guest, Keith Moore.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to get right back into our Bible lesson today. Praise God. And Father, we thank you. We praise you and worship you, and we give all of the honor and the praise and the glory for every word that's said, every deed that's done, anywhere in the world, to the name of Jesus and to the throne of grace. We thank you and we praise you for revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Keith Moore, God bless you, man.
Thank you, sir.
I'll tell you what, you have fed me royally.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Whew, yesterday. Oh, that's smacking good, brother. It really did help me.
Thank you, Lord.
I was in a place all last week. Well, when you got here, all last week, and then to do this week's broadcast, I was in a place of tiredness. I needed to be fed. Mm. Now, I wasn't prayed down or wearied down or anything like that, but I could tell. You know, here's where you can tell when one of your tires is low.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I needed to be pumped up. I needed my spirit to be fed. Mm. And oh my goodness. Of course, all last week, man, I'm mm-hmm. coming up. And yesterday, I'll tell you what, I think I hit the ceiling yesterday.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's get right back into this thing, Brother Keith.
Yes, sir.
Where you want us to start?
At 1 John, our text that we've looked at for 2 weeks now. We've been talking about walking in the light. And if I could just read it again in verse 5 of 1 John 1, he said, "This is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Mm. If we say we have fellowship with him who is light and we're walking in darkness," that couldn't be. If you're walking with light, you can't be in darkness. You'd be in light. So if you're in darkness, you can't be walking with him, fellowshipping with him, or you'd be in light. He said, if we say we're having fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying. Now, he didn't just say we're mistaken. He said we're lying. Lying implies, reveals that you know something. It is a falseness that you know you're not walking in light. We're lying and not doing the truth. One of the biggest problems is not walking in the light that we have as believers. It is, when we're born again, we're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new.
And the scripture says we're born of the light.
Exactly. Children of light.
Yes, sir.
Born of the Father of lights. We are children of light. And so we know we're children of the Father. We know we're born again. We know he has the path and light for us. And so when truth comes to us as a newborn baby, it's clear to you. You see it. You know it. But usually not soon after being born again, something will come up of light. You need to change this. You need to stop this. You need to do this. All of us back when we first started walking with the Lord were doing things we didn't realize were wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's all a light that we had. But as we looking back now, you think, oh man, why didn't I see that was wrong? But we didn't have that light yet. But when the light comes, yeah, you need to lay that aside. Yeah, you need to start this. If you don't walk in that light, if you procrastinate, and you know you need to do something, you need to implement, you need to make changes now, immediately, but you think, well, I'm going to think about that, or I'm going to pray about that, or if your flesh doesn't want it to be the truth, you can play games in your mind and go, mm-hmm. well, was that really the Lord? And we just don't really know. And if you do that, instead of walking in the light, now darkness comes in. Confusion is darkness. Ignorance is darkness. And so if you're walking in confusion and in ignorance, but you're saying, no, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm walking in all the light I have, you are lying.
Keith, I've noticed now over the years, we've been doing this 44 years, mm-hmm. the Lord. I've noticed that and 1 John bears this out, that everybody in the body of Christ, everybody that's ever made Jesus Lord of your life, I don't care if you've never been to church 5 seconds in your life, mm-hmm. everybody knows that you're supposed to love one another.
Right.
And everybody knows that forgiveness is of God.
Right.
And that refusal to act on that and refusal to do it, yeah, but I can't do that, man. I'll tell you what, I might forgive. I ain't never going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew better than that when you said it.
Yes.
But it still looks so foreign and so far out, but still you know better than to hold a grudge.
Yep.
You know better than to be angry and that kind of thing.
Right.
That one will go further towards putting the light out.
Oh. Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. Every step out of love is a step into the darkness.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Every step out of love is a step out of light.
Now, I'll tell you something
else,
too.
Step into darkness.
Every step out of love is a step into fear.
Yeah.
Because perfected love casteth out fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you're back to this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Well, and then you get over here, perfect in the fourth chapter, perfected love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment.
Mm-hmm.
He that feareth is not developed or
right.
made perfect in love. An act of unforgiveness, an act of disobedience like that, immediately puts you in a place of fear.
Mm.
Fear is not just being frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Fear works when you don't sense fright at all.
Mm-hmm.
Fear's major job is not to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Fear's major job is to torment you and to cause you to doubt the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does before it does anything else. That's the reason Jesus so many times said, fear not, believe on you, and she shall be made whole.
Yes,
fear
sir.
Not. He's dealing with death. He didn't say, he could have said a lot of things, but he dealt with fear first.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing of unforgiveness is just deadly.
One manifestation of fear that I have found that a lot of Christians don't identify is, you know, fear is in degrees, and there's a spectrum of fear.
Yes, it is.
Well, there is paralyzing fear, and that is the largest degree of torment.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the way down here at the other end of it, there is dread. And that is fear, but it's just not full-blown fear like paralyzing fear. But this nagging dread, I dread to do that. I dread to do that. I'm not looking forward to that. What is that? It is a smaller measure of fear. Why would you dread to do it? If you shouldn't be doing it, don't do it. Don't just dread it. Don't do it. But if it's something you should be doing, you should be doing it in faith.
Gloria said, if it's something that you know you should do, but you don't want to, and you dread it, now you got to do it twice. you're going through the same effect of it, dreading it, and then you have to go do it.
Right.
And if you don't do it in faith, you do it in dread, it's going to be a torment when you do it.
Right. Many Christians dread tomorrow. And that is absolutely fear in the place of faith, because why would you dread tomorrow? Because you believe, you're expecting it to be as bad or worse than a previous day, today or yesterday.
Yeah.
And that is going, that is believing for problems tomorrow. If you weren't expecting them, you wouldn't be dreading it. But faith, no matter how it's been and how long it's been that way, faith will expect it to be better. Faith will expect it to change. And if you're really expecting it to be better, there's no reason to dread.
That's true.
There's no, and the torment of that, that nagging, that, you know, people put it off and put it off and they try to do everything else but that. And why? Well, because they just expect it to be as hard of a deal and as big of a problem as it was the last time or last hundred or last thousand. But that is opening the door for the enemy to make it that way, because you are believing for the problem, believing for the hindrance, believing for it. And if you've experienced a bunch of problems, it's easy to just expect the same thing or worse. But if you get the light of the Word in you, you'll say, no, I don't care if it's been that way for the last 50 years. No, I refuse to live that way all my life. And you start putting your words on it. The Bible said you'll decree a thing and it'll be so to you. You'll say, in fact, the Lord gave us a word in our conference here a couple of weeks ago that a number of people had gone through some challenges economically, financially, and some people are not at the place where they were financially a year, two, or three, or five ago. Mm-hmm. And the Lord spoke to us a word, man, it went off in us. We've been shouting about it ever since, that people would ask individuals in days to come, well, how is it, you know? And because they knew you're going through something, you go, listen, it not just am I back where I used to be, it is better than it's ever been.
Praise God.
Better than it's ever been in every way. Well, the Scripture says don't look back and then say, what's the cause that the former days were better than these? Because you don't inquire wisely. And when you're asking the question, looking back, you're in darkness because the light's in front. And you say, well, I just don't see how it could be as good. Well, that's where faith comes in. You don't have to see. You don't have to understand. All you have to do is believe that God is big enough, He's just that big, and He's just that good, that His future for you is better than it's ever been.
Faith will turn that into hope.
Expectation.
And somebody said, how could you possibly expect that to come to pass?
Right.
Because of what He said right here in His Word.
Exactly.
And I expect it to come to pass just like that. And I've got my faith in that. And I'm talking that. That's Bible hope.
Yes.
I'm expecting that to come to pass.
Absolutely.
Because He said that. And that's what hope does. Boy, hope jack you up.
It gives you joy and excitement.
Oh, and it gets full of faith. And faith gets full of hope. And instead of dreading something, man, you're on the go.
Look forward to it.
Wow.
Because it has to improve. It has to be better.
This. The Lord had to dealing with me on this. Oh, man. My dad traveled a lot. He was gone a lot. Well, when he'd come home, dad loved to fish. And he was a good hunter, too, but he enjoyed fishing, man. I mean, and he'd say, now, boy, now get your stuff ready, because we're getting up early in the morning, we're going fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sleep. I'm laying there, oh my God, I can't, wake up an hour early, you know, and it's 4:30 in the morning, I'm dressed, sitting on the edge of the bed, waiting for him to come in. I got my tackle box sitting there, I am ready to go. Now, the same man, my dad, could come in and say to me, now, we're going to get up early in the morning because we got some yard work to do. I want you to help me. Man, I sleeping like a rock. Mm-hmm. He come in there to shake me, to get me up. Mm-hmm. Same man. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to work in that yard. And I drag around for 2.5-3 hours. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, what's the matter, you boy? I say, I don't like this. Amen. Well, it's the same man, same weather,
yeah,
same conditions.
Yeah.
One thing I like to do,
yeah,
and the other I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't like to work in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't plan on doing it.
Yeah.
But if you set yourself to accomplish what you're supposed to do, what you're committed to do, your covenant with somebody, your word has been spoken, mm-hmm, and you're going to do this thing, and you just go ahead and face it and set yourself to it, I'm going to do it, praise, mm-hmm, God, and go on then get up out of that bed and put your feet on the floor and quit dragging around, things start happening. Things start changing.
The Lord, a revelation came to me years ago. I know it sounds strange to some folks, but it's just simply this. The Lord is smarter than me.
Oh, yeah. The Lord and glory are both smarter than I am.
And what I mean by dawned on me, He made me. He made me. He knows my insides. He knows my graces. He knows what I can and can't do best or easiest. And if He says, today's yard day for you, Keith, then if I trust Him, I believe the yard is the best place I could be today. And there's grace on me for the yard today.
Well, now, He's the only one. He's
exactly
the only one that could, but I would do it for Jesus. I'll go back in the yard.
Exactly. And I'm not so fond of yard work myself. But
I know what you're
saying. You know
saying,
what I'm saying?
Yes,
if He says, today, Keith, is yard day, then if I go fishing when I'm supposed to be in the yard,
that's a bad thing.
It could be a terrible day.
Yeah.
Even though I'm fishing, because I'm not in the will of God, I'm not in the grace of God. And so just having simple faith in Him, if He says, go here, do this, do that, then if you know that He's in it, if He's leading in it, if the light is there, you can have the best day you've had.
You've heard me tell this. I was out there mowing the yard, and I was, you know, going as fast as I can to get this thing over with. And this the first little house Gloria and I had, wasn't all that big a yard. And I'm about 2/3 of the way through, and the word of the Lord came to me. He said, when you get through, I want you to mow their front mm-hmm. yard over. I looked over there, and man, it's that deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew who these people were, but I'd never met them. Our kids know one another. I said, Lord, really? He said, I want you to mow that yard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to, and of course, all through my mind, I'm thinking, what are you going to look out there? And I'm out there in the front yard mowing their yard. Man, what are they going to think? And all of this yeah that mm-hmm. goes on when God tells you to do something like that. And if you listen to it. And so I said, well, all right, I'll do it. And I didn't even cut the mower off. I just went right straight across. The moment I got over in his yard, I got to singing and I'm mowing and I'm thinking, I'm sowing a seed here. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And I'm about halfway through with his yard. And the Lord said, I want you to claim this family for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, went ahead and finished that yard, mm-hmm. come back home, put the lawnmower up. It was, several weeks later, I don't remember now the exact time, but I had time to go out on the road and accomplish my meetings and so forth, and I had come back in town, been in town probably 2 days. I knock on the front door, and I went, and it was the lady that lived next door.
And Keith, I opened my door. She's preaching at me just loud and long as she could. I could hardly get a word in edgewise. Hmm. And I finally told her, I said, amen, sister, glory to God, yes, amen. And she wouldn't hardly even hear that. She'd kind of nod and just keep preaching. Hmm. Well, after she finally slowed down a little while, there was a lay witness mission that had come into the little neighborhood Presbyterian church where that family went to church, and almost the whole church got born again. Hmm. And she was so thrilled, man. She's preaching to, she's going from house to house, preaching to everybody. She's so excited. She set out to get all the children in the neighborhood saved.
Thank you.
And I began to think, oh, dear Lord, what if I disobeyed God? Mm. He'd have got that job done, but I wouldn't have had the thrill of being a part of it.
Yeah.
And here's, man, Keith, I don't know what came out of that that I've not known was connected to that. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things in the spiritual fabric of time over the last 40 years that have come out of that I don't even know about. But that's the way God is, and it's the way He works.
It is so vital that we obey the Lord.
Now, was that walking in the light?
Absolutely.
As He is in the light?
You had light to go cut their grass. And for a lot of people, that's not very spiritual. Are they begin to think, well, why? Well, what difference does that make? And how does that help the kingdom? And if you fail to obey, the Lord sees the big picture. He has the overall plan. I was thinking of Paul's partners in Philippians, where he talked about his partnership with them, and he said, you only sent to me once and again. Well, he's got all these churches under him,
they were the only people.
And when he was in a situation believing God and standing, they were the only ones. What if they hadn't obeyed God? Now, I'm sure when the Lord dealt with them, send this to him, do this for him, they're thinking, well, he's got all these churches, he's got all these other people.
Somebody bound.
Yeah, right. But that's how people mess up. I'm convinced we don't know how significant it is that we just do what we're told, we obey. You know, Jesus' mother said some of the greatest words to him, whatever he says to you, just do it. And there are miracles attached to the simplest acts of obedience.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow we can get into something that happened over there in the first chapter of Mark with that leper that came to Jesus and said, I know you can if you will. He said, I will.
Yep.
But then Jesus straightly charged him and gave him an assignment and said, don't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. You go straight.
Right.
You go straight to the temple, show yourself to the priest as a witness unto them.
Right.
And he went out and blazed it abroad. Now, just before that, the scripture said, Jesus said, I must go into the other towns and preach, for that's what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. You come down, same chapter, come right down after that guy blazed that abroad, paid no attention to what he said to him. And it said the people came to him unto the point where he could no longer get into the towns. He had to go out into desert places. He got in Jesus' way with that because he didn't listen. He didn't obey. Now, the scripture doesn't go any further than that. But it makes me think, wonder what happened to his healing. Wonder what happened to him after that. Couldn't have been good.
Yeah.
Unless he repented and came back.
Well, he decided that what Jesus told him to do wasn't important.
Or just didn't hear it at all.
Just, you know, he knew best what to do.
Oh, we're out of time.
Yes.
Brother Keith and I'll be back in just a moment.
We are all born equipped with God-given talent and ability. God's grace works for us to guarantee our success. When we apply our skills in the wrong place, it's easy to say we are failures. What we say about our situation impacts its outcome. What we believe about our abilities creates opportunities. When we're out of our place and operating without grace, it's easy to feel like a failure. Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore's teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success, combined with Kenneth Copeland's mini book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be, are powerful resources designed to empower you to obtain success in all areas of your life. The techniques they reveal teach you how to break the cycle of persistent problems you face, discover your unique skill set, and develop a more intimate relationship with God. Discover your grace and get into your place. Order the teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success for just $14, and you'll also receive Kenneth Copeland's latest mini-book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be. Please specify your choice of DVD or CD for the teaching series. Receive an additional product discount and faster processing when you purchase your copies online. Go to our website, kcm.org, for these and other ministry products. Walk in God's grace and establish His ways in your life today.
Walking in the light as He is in the light. My, my, my. 11 messages. Now, the thing of it is, what's so frustrating to us, and I know it is to you too, is we're so time limited on a broadcast. Man, that gets going and I don't want to quit. It starts flowing. Well, that's fine, but that's why these things are so important. In fact, the Lord told me when He started doing daily, He said, all you're doing is introducing these principles and laws of the Spirit. But He said, and back in those days, the tapes, He said, in those tapes is where people can study and build and grow in these very same principles. So that's what this is. So go to kcm.org. And download it free, praise God. And don't you forget, now you got to believe God with Brother Keith and his ministry and with Phyllis, because they're sowing it into your life, praise God. Now, stand on the Word of God with us. Stand on the Word for the Word pouring out into people all over the world. Bless your heart. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Come with us to the 2011 Annual Word of Faith Conference, June 17th at the Word of Faith International Christian Center in Southfield, Michigan. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Pastor Terry Pearsons is speaking at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference at Canada Christian College, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, September 28th through 30th. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.